not an hour ago yago. Si Jiva Gopalako. Nana Shastra Charanaika Nipanao. Sat Dharma Sangstapako. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanjipana Sat Dharma Sangstapako Lokanam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Lokanam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajana Nandina Madaliko Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajana Nandina Madaliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. And thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. This is the nectar of devotion as presented to us by the ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This will be Chapter 3, Eligibility of the Candidate for Accepting Devotional Service. On account of one's association with Maha-Atmas, or great souls, 100% in devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna, but at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he or she has unflinching attraction to Krishna, still becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotees is the sign of great fortune, for it is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotional service. In this connection, Lord Sri Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, My dear Uddhava, Only by exceptional good fortune does someone become attracted to me. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities, or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is quickly effective. Devotees may be divided into three classes. The devotee in the first or uppermost class is described as follows. He or she is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures and is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He or she can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion and can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He or she understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain the transcendental loving service of Krishna. And such a person knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first-class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of his bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed the spiritual master in accordance with revealed scriptures. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master oneself, then one is considered first class. The first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority and thus attains firm faith in the scriptures by understanding with all reason and arguments. And when we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of the revealed scriptures. The first class devotee is not interested in dry speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as the first class devotee. The second class devotee has been defined by the following symptoms. He or she is not very expert in arguing on the strength of revealed scripture, but has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedure of devotional service unto Krishna, but may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the strength of the revealed scriptures to an opposing party. But at the same time, such a person is still undaunted as to one's decision that Krishna is the supreme object of worship. The neophyte, or third class devotee, is one whose faith is not strong, and who, at the same time, does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture. The neophyte's faith can be changed by someone else with strong arguments or by an opposite decision. Unlike the second-class devotee, who also cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scripture, but still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no faith in the objective. Thus he or she is called the neophyte devotee. Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in Bhagavad Gita. There it is stated, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti narjuna Artho jigyasur artarthi jnani cha bharatarshava. There are four classes of men: those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. And they begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in the matter of their respective self-satisfaction. They go into some place of worship and pray to God for mitigation of material distress, or for some economic development, or to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And a wise man who simply realizes the greatness of God is also counted among the neophytes. Such beginners can be elevated to the second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees. An example of the neophyte class is Maharaj Dhruva. Dhruva was in need of his father's kingdom, and therefore he engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord. Then in the end, when Dhruva was completely purified, he declined to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Similarly, Gajendra was distressed and prayed to Krishna for protection, after which Gajendra became a pure devotee. And similarly, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar were all in the category of wise saintly persons, and they were also attracted by devotional service. A similar thing happened to the assembly in Naimisharanya forest, headed by the sage Shaunaka. They were inquisitive and were always asking Suta Goswami about Krishna. Thus they achieved the association of a pure devotee and became pure devotees themselves. And so that is the way of elevating oneself. In whatever condition one may be, if he or she is fortunate enough to associate with pure devotees, then very quickly one is elevated to the second class or first class platform. These four types of devotees have been described in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and they have all been accepted as pious. For without becoming pious, no one can come to devotional service. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita that only one who has continually executed pious activities and whose sinful reactions in life have completely stopped can take to Krishna consciousness. Others cannot. The neophyte devotees are classified into four groups: the distressed, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise, according to their gradations of pious activities. Because without pious activities, even if a man is in a distressed condition, he becomes an agnostic or communist or something like that. Because he does not firmly believe in God, he thinks that he can adjust his distressed condition by totally disbelieving in God. Lord Krishna, however, has explained in his Bhagavad Gita, Teshyam jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyo hi jnanino kiratham ahang satcha mama priya. So out of these four types of neophytes, the one who is wise is very dear to Krishna, because a wise man, if attached to Krishna, is not seeking an exchange of material benefits. A wise man who has become attached to Krishna does not want any return from Krishna, either in the form of relieving distress or in gaining money. This means that from the very beginning, one's basic principle of attachment to Krishna is more or less love. Furthermore, due to one's wisdom and study of the shastras or scriptures, one can understand also that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunang janmanam ante, jnanavan man prapadyate, vasudeva sarvam iti, samahatma sadurlabha. After many births, when one actually becomes wise, one surrenders unto Vasudeva, knowing perfectly well that Krishna or Vasudeva is the origin and cause of all causes. Therefore, one sticks to the lotus feet of Krishna and gradually develops love for Krishna. Although such a wise man is very dear to Krishna, the others are also accepted as very magnanimous, because even though they are distressed or in need of money, they have come to Krishna for their satisfaction. Thus they are accepted as liberal, broad-minded mahatmas. Without being elevated to the position of a jnani or wise man, one cannot stick to the principle of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The less intelligent, or those whose intelligence has been taken away by the spell of Maya, are attached to different demigods on account of the influence of the modes of nature. But the wise man is he who has thoroughly understood that he is spirit soul and not simply a body. Because he realizes that he is spirit and that Krishna is the Supreme Spirit, he knows that his intimate relationship should be with Krishna and not with the body. The distressed and the man in want of money are in the material concept of life, because distress and need of money are both in relationship with the body. One who is inquisitive may be a little above the distressed and the man in need of money, but still even he is on the material platform. But a wise man who seeks Krishna knows perfectly well that he is spirit soul or Brahman, and that Krishna is the Supreme Spirit Soul, or the Parabrahman. He knows that the Spirit Soul, being subordinate and finite, should always dovetail with the Infinite and Supreme Soul, Krishna. That is the relationship of the wise man with Krishna. It can be thus concluded that a person who is freed from the bodily conception of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. And it is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kamchati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktin Labhate Param. So it is after Brahman realization, when one is freed from material anxieties and can see every living entity on an equal level, then he or she is eligible to enter into devotional service. As stated before, there are three kinds of happiness: material, spiritual, and devotional. Devotional service and the happiness due to its execution are not possible as long as one is materially effective. Devotional service and the happiness due to its execution are not possible as long as one is materially affected. If someone has desire for material enjoyment or for becoming one with the Supreme, these are both considered material concepts. Because the impersonalist cannot appreciate the spiritual happiness of association and the exchange of loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their ultimate goal is to become one with the Lord. this concept is simply an extension of the material idea. For in the material world, everyone is trying to be the topmost headman among all other fellow men or neighbors. And communally, socially, or nationally, everyone is competing to be greater than all the others in the material concept of life. This greatness can be extended to the unlimited, so that one actually wants to become one with the greatest of all, the Supreme Lord. But this is also a material concept, although maybe a little more advanced. However, the perfect spiritual concept of life is complete knowledge of one's constitutional position, in which one knows enough to dovetail him or herself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. One must know that he or she is finite and that the Lord is infinite. Thus, it is not possible to actually become one with the Lord, even if one aspires for this. It is simply not possible. Therefore, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his or her senses by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore compared possessing bhukti, material, or a mukti, liberation desires, with being influenced by the black art of a witch. In both cases, one is in trouble. Bhukti means material enjoyment, and mukti means to become freed from material anxiety and to become one with the Lord. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches, because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual transcendental taste of devotional service. As it is, a pure devotee never cares for liberation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself prayed to Krishna, "Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari, kavitang va jagad isha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatad bhaktir, ahaituki twayi." O my dear son of Nanda Krishna, I do not want any material happiness in the shape of many followers, nor immense opulence in wealth, nor any beautiful wife, nor do I want cessation of material existence. I may take birth many times, one after another, but what I pray from you is that my devotion unto you may always remain unflinching. The attention of a pure devotee is so much attracted to glorification of the Lord's pastimes, name, qualities, form, etc., that the devotee does not care for mukti. Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur has said, "Bhaktistvayi stiratara bhagavan yadi syad, daivena na phalati divya kishora murti, mukti swayang mukulitanjali sevate sman, dharmatta kama gataya samaya pratiksha." If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily I can perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think liberation stands at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me. To pure devotees, therefore, liberation and spiritual emancipation are not very important things. In this connection, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, verses 35 through 37, Lord Kapila has advised his mother Devahuti as follows. Pashyanti te me, ruchurani ambasanta, prasanna vaktraruna lochanani, rupani divyani varapradani, sakang vachang sprihaniyam vadanti, tayar darshaniya vayavaya udara, vilasa ha saikshita vama suktai, Hritatmano hrita pranangsh cha bhaktir anichato me gatim anding prayukte ato vibhuting mama maya vinastang aishvaryam ashtangam anupravartritam sriyang bhagavatinang vaspriyahanti madram parasya me te Shunvate tu loke. My dear mother, my pure devotees are charmed by seeing my different forms, the beauty of my face, the structure of my body so enchanting, my laughing, my pastimes, and my glance appear to them so beautiful that their minds are always absorbed in thoughts of me, and their lives are dedicated fully unto me. Although such people do not desire any kind of liberation or any kind of material happiness, still I give them a place among my associates in my supreme abode. This evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam gives assurance to the pure devotee of being elevated to the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks in this connection that one who is actually attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna or Krishna's service, and whose heart by such attraction is always full with transcendental bliss, will naturally never aspire after the liberation which is so valuable to the impersonalist. A similar passage is also there in the third canto, fourth chapter, verse 15 of the same book, wherein Uddhava addresses Lord Krishna. Kongvisha te pada Saroja bhajam sudurlabor teshu charteshu apiha tatapi nahang pravrinomi bhuman bhavat padambhoja nisheva natsuka. My dear Lord, for persons who are engaged in your transcendental loving service, there is nothing worth obtaining from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or even liberation. Although happiness from these different sources can be very easily had by them. But in spite of such facilities, my dear Lord, I do not aspire to achieve any such results. For my only prayer is that I may have unflinching faith and devotion unto your lotus feet. A similar passage appears in the third canto, 25th chapter, verse 34, wherein Kapila Dev instructs his mother, Naikat matang me sprihayanti kechin. Matpada seva virata madiha. Yenyongyato bhagavata prasadja. Sabhajayante mama parushani. O my dear mother, devotees whose hearts are always filled in the service of my lotus feet, and who are prepared to do anything for my satisfaction, especially those fortunate devotees who assemble together to understand my qualities, pastimes, and form, and thus glorify me congregationally, and derive transcendental pleasure therefrom. Such devotees never desired to become one with me. And what to speak of becoming one with me, even if they are offered a post like mine in my abode, or opulence like mine, or even personal association with me, with similar bodily features, they refuse to accept, because they are satisfied simply by being engaged in my devotional service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 9th chapter, verse 10, King Dhruva says, Ya nivritis tanubritang tavapada padma, dhyanad bhavad jana kata sravanena vasyat. Sa brahmani sva mahimani api nata mabut. King tu antakasi lulitat patang vimanat. My dear Lord, the transcendental pleasure derived by meditation upon your lotus feet, which is enjoyed by the pure devotees, cannot be approached by the transcendental pleasure derived by the impersonalist through self-realization. So how can the fruitive workers, who at most can aspire to promotion to the heavenly planets, understand you? And how can they be described as enjoying a happiness similar to that of the devotee's happiness?
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Varad Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Varad Hari. Yashoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha, Madhava, Kunja Bihari.
All glories to our loving spiritual master, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.